This morning's scripture will be taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Again, that's Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a delight to see you here this morning. It is always our joy to be together. We are thankful to the God of heaven for this privilege that's ours, and we are delighted that you have chosen to be here this morning with us in the worshiping of our Father. So glad that so much family has traveled. Glad you did so safely. Pray for your safe departure and arrival back at home. Hope you have a wonderful time here with your family and enjoy the time together. Not a whole lot better than family, is it? Especially if that family is in the Lord. Is that a blessing? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and verse 6. Let's go back a slide and talk about that for just a moment. Set the book in its context just briefly and then talk about how it applies to us. The saints were suffering, and maybe you can relate. Some challenges were certainly about them. Persecution was the norm. Back in chapter 10, he said that they had suffered joyfully the spoiling of their goods. It's interesting that he ties that very concept of money and goods with God being with us, which is our title this morning, God is with us. But he wanted to assure them of that, and certainly that's what we want to do by the end of the sermon, is to assure us of the same. What he says, though, here is rather challenging, I suppose, to a faith, to one's faith. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Here's the connection. He has already said, he said this, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now put that in the context of people spoiling your goods, plundering your things, and persecuting you. One of the first questions you might ask is, where's God? It is a rather common question among God's people. Where is the Lord when I am going through hardship and adversity? And it's interesting here that he says, don't love money. Well, what would be among the first things you'd be concerned with when people are taking your goods and persecuting your life? How are we going to make it? Will we have enough money? You might give your time, attention, and thoughts to trying to get as much as you could as quickly as you can. And he says to you, be free from that. Don't worry about it. Well, what's going to sustain you? He's already said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Then he adds this thought. As a result of that, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can men do to me? Have you ever found yourself in a position asking the question, is God with me? Is God with us? Where is God? It's actually a common question in Scripture. Sometimes we chide and disagree and talk with those who don't believe, and they say, well, where's God? And they often point to adversity in the lives of people when they're pointing that out. Where was God when? And then they'll list some news headline and it'll be a tragic event. And they will say, where was God when? You know, that's not limited to non-believers. As you're reading through the Bible, believers ask the same thing. You remember Gideon when the angel appeared to him? The angel referred to Gideon as a mighty man of valor. God is with you, the angel said. And Gideon's response, do you remember it? It's back in Judges chapter 6. And Gideon said, if the Lord is with us, if that's true, where are all the blessings? Where are all the things our fathers told us about, if that's true? It's not the first time it was asked, certainly not the last. In fact, as you read through the Bible, it's interesting. God is often doubted and defended in Scripture.
It's a common occurrence that those sometimes doubt God, and then a defense of God is given. In fact, if you hold this in your mind, when you're reading through the Bible, add this thought of the things you're discovering. That among the things the Bible is about is a defense of God. Romans chapter 3 and about verse 24, 25, 26, right in there, it actually says that he might be just. Why did he give grace freely through Christ Jesus? There's the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. He's given that freely. And then Paul says that he might be just. We generally think of him in the second phrase, and the justifier. We get that, that God is the one who justifies, that God is the justifier. Yeah, Paul says, listen, but there's two parts. He did all of this that in the end, when you look over the work of Scripture and God's action, you conclude he's vindicated. That he might be just and the justifier. There are two thoughts tied together. Among them are these. God is faithful. You need to be faithful. God is with you. You need to be with God. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says to his audience earlier in the book. For God is not unrighteous to forget. Why would he have to tell people that? Why would you have to bother telling people? Now, God's not unfaithful. God's not unrighteous. He won't forget. He won't forget what? He won't forget your work, your labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye've ministered to the saints and do minister. And as the writer went on, he said, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Now again, that's written to the New Testament saints, but get the last verse and how he ties their faithfulness back to the Old Testament saints when he says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What he writes to the New Testament saints is, you be faithful to God because God is faithful to you. God is with you. I imagine that message resonates even to this very hour where God's people go through an entire calendar year nearly, and it would be hard to believe that at some point throughout the year, there were individuals here that didn't wonder it. Those New Testament saints are wondering it. And what he does is he goes backward and he says, listen to God's history and God's record. And then he comes back to them and he assures them he's with you too. What he says is, you be faithful to him because God is faithful. Going backward, he'll note some examples. He says, Abraham. You start reading in the book of in the beginning of the Bible, you just start reading through it, and one of the things that will jump out to you is just this. God is with his people. He was with Abraham. One man, and these are just some of the events that took place in his life. Abraham endured a famine. You know, saying those words and moving on to the next point quickly really does not do justice to what it means to be in a famine. Saying the sentence, Abraham endured a famine. While you sit on comfortable pews and I stand in a nice ventilated room and comfortable and everything, just saying he went through a famine does no justice to what that means. But God was with him. Abraham went through strife among his herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. You remember that great passage, let there be no strife betwixt us or between us, for we be brethren, Genesis 13. He was with them in war when the five kings fought the four kings, and Abraham took his 318 hired servants and they went and rescued Lot and his family. Abraham, God did that. God was with them. God was with Abraham through worldliness. You remember Genesis 18 and 19 where God said of Abraham, shall I hide that thing which I do? For I know him. And then God went on to describe Abraham's faithfulness. He'll command his household and his family after him to do justice and mercy. And God said, I'm going to do justice. He said, I'm going to tell Abraham. And immediately telling him, Abraham pled for Sodom and Gomorrah. God was with him. God was with Abraham through a kidnapping. Pray nobody here ever goes through anything like that. But you imagine one day walking with your wife and the next thing watching her walk away with another man? Oh, not because she chose, but because the king sent some people, and I imagine they were armed, and they were stronger than Abraham, probably more in number, and before he knew it, he was watching Sarah leave. You know God was with him. God was with him through the testing of his faith, and maybe that's the very thing that you and I might be going through now. Maybe your faith is being tried. Maybe it's being challenged. I know this. When Abraham drew the knife back, had his son on the altar, God was with him. 25 years, Abraham waited for a child, and throughout that 25 years, all of those events and some more happened to him. And in Genesis 21, this is what we read. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken. Ask Abraham to look back on his life. Abraham, was God with you? I don't think there's any doubt in the world that Abraham would say, yes, God was with me through it all. When the Hebrew writer is penning his words to those New Testament saints, he says, you need to be like them. Those people. Abraham, God was with him. But then secondly, God was with Joseph. Entirely different dynamics of life, entirely different circumstances and situations, and yet God was with him. The word family strife might be kind. That might be some nice language to describe his relationship with his brothers. The Bible says in Genesis 37 and about verse 4, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more, they hated him. We know that hate moved to envy, and they had decided to kill him. I trust and I pray that there's nobody in this audience with a family member who wants to kill him. Joseph had 10 rather. Benjamin wasn't a part of that scheme. But he had 10 brothers who wanted to kill him. Thankfully, two of them stood up. And eventually, the best plan was, let's sell him into slavery. I imagine at around 17 years old, as Joseph is traveling down to Egypt, he might be wondering, where's God? But when Joseph arrived there, Genesis 39, work problems. I don't know if you've ever experienced any work problems. And again, describing this as work problems might be too kind. For Miss Potiphar cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she asked him day after day to lie with me, lie with me. And Joseph refused. And in that faithful refusal, Joseph ran out and left his coat. And what happened after that? He was imprisoned. Now you tell me, when and at what point might Joseph ask, where is God? The Lord is my helper. Really? I will not fear. What can men do to me? Apparently they can put you in prison. And Joseph's now in prison. Where's God? With Joseph. Joseph got out of prison. And you know, it's one thing when you talk about what's bad in your life. What happens when what's bad in your life is reversed? And the people who did you wrong is reversed, and now you stand in a place where you can get them back. You know, God was with Joseph in reconciliation. God was still there with Joseph. All throughout Joseph's life, these are some of the words you will read. The Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, 39:2. But the Lord was with Joseph. He showed mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Inside of the prison, the Lord is with Joseph. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. At the end, when Joseph is looking back over his life in that reconciliation period with his brethren, Joseph says this, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph, all the things you went through, 17 years old, sold, and then in prison, and then you get out, ascend the heights of Egypt, have your brethren bowing before you. Joseph, where was God? I believe at the end of Joseph's life, he would look back on those events and Joseph would have said, God was with me. Abraham would have said it. Joseph would have said it. But then thirdly, David would have said it. Sometimes people say, I came from humble backgrounds. Well, that would be true of David. You know, when Samuel came and asked Jesse to bring his sons, how humble is David's beginnings? He didn't even get brought in. I mean, when Samuel asked for sons, you don't know where Jesse's mind is. Here they are. It took Samuel to ask, do you have any more sons here? God brought me here, and he's rejected all of these. You must have another son. What do you think of him? Not enough to even bring him inside. To say David started humbly, well, that would be a fair and accurate statement. But I ask you this, where was God? He was with Joseph. He was with David. When David faced this giant, God was with him. When David faced some powerful enemies, and by powerful I simply mean the king, you probably got an enemy or two at work, but it's probably not the CEO. It might be a peer. It might be some manager, but it's not the owner of the company. Listen, David's enemy is the king. And the king has tried to kill David on multiple occasions. In fact, the king has enlisted the nation. I generally believe, as I watch some of those television shows, that generally speaking, when the government wants you, eventually they'll find you. I just think they got too many resources not to. I just think you running from them, I just think the odds are against you. Try that with David and King Saul. From Dan to Beersheba, the breadth of the land and the width, everywhere David went, Saul had somebody there. And he was on David's heels every step of the way. In fact, on a couple of occasions, they were in the same space. Saul would miss him by fractions and by slight little time frames. Just miss him. He would be upset on some occasions that he would kill other people who he thought helped David. That's how badly he wanted to kill him. Where was God? When David was kind to somebody named Nabal, he showed kindness to that man and protected his flock. And then David asked him for something in return. And that man treated David harshly and his men. I don't know if you've ever given somebody kindness. Maybe you've done it in the name of the Lord. After all, just a cup of cold water, right? And maybe you went out of your way and gave. And then you offered and asked for just one thing, and it was a simple thing. It wasn't near what you gave in return. And they said, no, giving you nothing. And there you began to wonder, now where is God in this? Maybe you've had that incident where I'm doing right, and all I'm getting is wrong. I've actually heard people say this. I've actually heard come from people's mouth this phrase, I was better off in the world. What are you saying about God and his people when you were better off without them? Is it that bad? Some people think so. God was with David through his personal failings, his sin. There's no other word for it, sin. And what David did displeased the Lord. Rebellious children, I don't know if anybody can relate. Loss. I've been there, friends, and I know many of you have too. It is one thing to stand and talk about loss. It is another one to be the family dressed in black on that day. That's another thing altogether. David experienced that. If you check David's life, you check what the Bible says about David and about God, you'll read words like this. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. After Goliath was felled, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. And he was departed from Saul. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Throughout the course of David's life, despite all of the events, the Lord was with him. You don't have any idea how many times we could multiply this point over and over and over again. Suppose we took everybody's life here and parsed it out as we just did with those three. How long would it take us to work through the faithful through all of the ages that God has been with? Those people mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11, that's precisely why he's doing it. He is writing that list of people to undergird chapter 13. When he says the Lord is with you, he's your helper. He will not leave you. What's the proof? Enoch and Abel and Noah and Abraham and all the way through. And then he reaches the point actually in the text when he says time would fail. That's not just preacher talk. Or maybe it is. The writer actually says time would fail to speak of. And then he lists more people. How often has God forsaken his people? Never. When has God been with his people? Always. Jesus is God's proof that he is with us. When you read the birth of Jesus, Matthew chapter 1, the ESV reads this way. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in the dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. King James says, which being interpreted. The ESV says, which means. Jesus means, the Emmanuel means, God with us. If ever there's hardship in life and challenges and difficulties, if ever they're plundering your goods and taking your things and ruining your name, if there is a famine or loss or enemies or trials or challenges, Jesus means, the Emmanuel means, God is with us. What can man do to me? That's the Hebrews writer question. Is God with you? Yes. What's the proof? Not just the Old Testament faithful, but the very God man himself. Now, there were two parts to the sermon. That's part number one. Here's the second part. Let's stay with God. Because that's true, let's make sure we stay with him. That was the Hebrews writer's point in chapter 6. When he talks about God, he says God is not unrighteous. God is faithful. He won't forget your work. He won't forget your labor. The one you've showed, the life you've lived, he won't forget. He's with you. But then he says, don't be slothful. Be followers of them. Be followers of Abraham and Joseph and David and all of the other faithful. Be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Three things then more, and the sermon will be yours. Of those three men we mentioned, these things are true. May they be true of us. Abraham believed God. Joseph would not sin against God. And David repented to God. Now, because God is faithful, we need to be and we need to do these three things. The Bible says of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Back in Genesis chapter 12, God made promises to Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. By Genesis 15, Abraham said, let it be Eliezer. I don't have any son. You haven't given me a child. Let this steward in my house, use him. God said, no, he'll come from your body. By Genesis 16, Sarah said, go into Hagar. 10 years had elapsed. They've been in the land 10 years. She said, go into Hagar. And Abraham did. He was 86 years old. When you open up chapter 17, the Bible says Abraham is 99 years old and still no heir. You read chapter 17 and God says, in this set time, in the next year, 99 years old and his body is now dead and Sarah is past bearing. And when Paul, through inspiration, pens it, he says of Abraham, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded. Friends, let me ask you this morning, are you fully persuaded? Do you believe? If you believe in God and his promises like Abraham did, when you go forward, then there should never be a day when you wallow in self-pity and in doubt, fear and shame and afraid and wondering, is God with me? The answer is yes, unequivocally. Now, will you believe God? Abraham was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, why was it imputed? Therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. God is with us. Let us stay with God. Abraham believed God, but then secondly, Joseph refused to sin against God. His brothers hated him. He's sold to a foreign nation. He's a long way from home. His father believes him to be dead. You know, I was reading through Genesis the other day. And every time you read the Bible, I don't know if every time, I shouldn't say that. But you learn something. You find something you didn't presently know. And let me take this quick sidebar. Let me just suggest this. It appeared, and I don't know, maybe you go back and read it. You check it out and see if it's the case. It made me wonder, did his brothers ever tell his father what they did? Here's why I say that. When Jacob sent Joseph away to go check on his brothers brought back a coat dipped in a kid's blood and asked Jacob, do you recognize it? Jacob did the rest. My son is without thou torn in peace and evil beast is killed. Fast forward then. When Joseph makes himself known to his brethren and he tells them to go get his father, if you just read the text, what it says is something like this. His brothers told Jacob, Joseph's alive. What was it that Jacob thought killed Joseph? Jacob thought an evil beast had killed Joseph in the way. What it sounds like his brothers do is come back and say, as it turns out. I'm saying the events that went on in Joseph's life, you can see how, especially a young man, let alone a seasoned one, might be bitter. Might be angry. Might even be opposed to God. And yet, in the midst of his trials, when presented with pleasure, he refused. And he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master does not know what is with me in the house. He's committed all that he had to my hand. There's none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It is one thing to say that God was with Joseph, and that's true. But friends, I submit to you, Joseph was with God. And as we work through our lives and challenges, may it be the case that the fact that God is with us anchors us to him. And may we use that lifeline to ever pull ourselves away from the enticements of sin and toward the anchor and the security of our soul salvation. God is with us. May we, like Joseph, refuse to sin against God. But then thirdly, David, the great man of God that he was, the man after God's own heart, sinned. And David repented. David begged with God, wash me. Oh, you can appreciate the almost like one of those VH1 behind the musics. You can appreciate the rise of David. Did he come from humble beginnings? Oh, yes. But what heights he ascended to? He went from the sheepfold to the king of God's people. People shouted his name, chanted for him. David has killed his tens of thousands. People adored him and wanted to be with him and around him. And David, on that pinnacle, on that star, David fell, and oh, what a fall. Do you know what David did? David raised his hand to heaven and earth, and he said, I've sinned. David said, it was me. I did it. And God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you've been so good to me and I have been so bad to you. Will you wash me? Will you purge me? God, will you make me new again? Sometimes when God's people fail, the tragedy is not in the fall. The tragedy is we convince ourselves that he doesn't want us back. And we stay down. And what David is shouting is that even in my fall, God didn't leave me. And when I repented, when I begged to be cleansed, God washed me and made me whole. May any of God's children who fall know for a certain that God is not a fair weather friend, that God is not a good time friend, that God is the kind of friend that'll come to the pig's pen. That God is the kind of friend that'll meet you on your way. That God is the kind of friend that'll open his arms and say, if you're willing, I'm willing. God is the kind of friend that'll say, won't you come back and we can start again? And we'll forget and we'll move forward. May we be those kinds of friends one to another, because that's the way God is to us. Friends, God is with us. May we be with him. As we near the end, not simply of a year, but of a life, may we all one day say these words as we look back over our walk with the God of heaven. These are also said by David. I have been young, and now I'm old. And yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful. He lendeth, and his seed is blessed. The exhortation the same, depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Friends, I submit to you, no matter what you're going through or have gone through, God is with us. As we get ready to turn another year, let's stay with God. If you're not his child this morning, friends, you need to be. You need to come to the God of heaven who made you in his image and who wants you back into his family. Believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess his name and be immersed in water, and let Jesus save you. Let God, through Jesus, save you from your sins. Friends, if you've never done that, you need to. It is called good news for a reason. But if you are his child, another year is fast approaching. We look back over it, and maybe you ask at one point, where is God? I submit to you this, peaks or valleys, God was with us. And friends, God will forever be with his people. Let us make sure we stay with him. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.